But no, Jessica.
Let's call to order this hearing of the House Rules Committee. Welcome. It is Wednesday, May 11th, 2011. We're going to do two very quick introductions of committee measures, and then we're going to get right into the meat of today, which is Senate Bill 742. Mr. Co-Chair, possible introduction of committee measures.
Would you like me to?
Yes, absolutely.
That'd be great. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the first one is LC 4153, a proposed bill to conform EMS terminology to national standards. This is a 90-something page draft. I gave you the first 8 pages. I've also posted the full draft on the S drive for you, and I have a copy of the full draft if anyone would like to see it. This is LC 4153.
Coach Olson?
Mr. Chair, I move LC 4153, dated 5/5/11, as a committee bill.
Coach Olson moves that we introduce LC 4153, dated 5/5/11, as a committee measure. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Mr. Sandbridge?
Mr. Chairman, the second one is LC 4168. It's a proposed concurrent resolution memorializing former Speaker Robert Duncan. You each have a copy of the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move LC 4168, dated 5/6/11, forward as a committee bill.
Coach Olson moves LC 4168, dated 5/6/11, be introduced as a committee measure. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Thank you.
And I was just curious if Representative Berger would like to make her a little spiel.
Mr. Chair, we do this with the understanding that by voting to introduce these measures, we imply no support or opposition to whatever is contained in those drafts.
So noted for the record. So we are going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 742. Just a couple of comments up front. First of all, we have a very full room here. We have, I believe, 2 overflow rooms of folks who are in the Capitol. So as folks have signed up, we have 2 very full lists, so we're going to have a time clock in front of you. Everyone will be given 2 minutes, up to 2 minutes to speak, and you'll see that the time clock counting down. I think it goes to, when it's 30 seconds, it goes to yellow, and then when you're at red, you're at the end of your 2 minutes. I'll be calling people who are on deck, so if you're in another room, you'll have a little bit of warning to be able to get here to know that you're the next panel that is up. It's both to show respect for everyone who's speaking, but also just for the interest of time, I would really ask that people not be applauding people you like, not be yelling at people you don't like. Let's have this be respectful. We're going to have a great opportunity to hear both sides of this important issue. All sides, probably there's probably more than just 1 or 2 sides. All sides of this important issue, and let's do so respectfully without applause. If you really want to show some affirmation of somebody who's speaking, you can silently hold your hands up and wave them without putting them together in clapping. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Chair Hunt, and I want to thank you for having this hearing and everybody being here to testify today. Before we start, I do want to make a brief statement, and I hope everybody takes this to heart. My wife and children are Hispanic, and I would appreciate no racist comments. I'm here for the entire hearing until that kind of stuff starts, and then I will be leaving. Thank you.
Thank you. Well said. Appreciate that. And already they're showing the affirmation without applauding. Good modeling, Representative Freeman. Thank you. So we're going to begin with 3 of our bill sponsors. I think they are all 3 here. Yeah, so I'll invite Representative Jensen, Representative Dembro, and Senator Morse, and please describe the bill for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 742A provides that students who meet prescribed conditions of the measure are entitled to exemption from non-resident tuition and fees at state institutions of higher education. It allows challenges to the tuition equity law to be directly reviewed by the Oregon Supreme Court. This bill passed the floor of the Senate on a vote of 18-11 and has a minimal fiscal impact. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So So we'll invite the three legislators, and on deck, then we'll have Susan Casillo and George Pernsteiner. So if you could be prepared. So, Senator, Representative, don't be too courteous to each other.
We're out of time constraints.
Yeah. We're starting off wrong already.
Welcome to the Rules Committee in our new meeting location.
E for education.
Please proceed. Introduce yourself for the record.
Senator?
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair Hunt and Mr. Co-Chair Olson and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Frank Morris, State Senator representing the Albany and Corvallis area. In the interest of time and respect for the many persons that wish to testify, I'll keep my remarks brief, but I would like to focus on why I am supporting this bill. In 2003, a bill came to the floor of the Senate. I stood on the floor of the Senate, and I spoke vehemently against the bill, and I want to share with you why I spoke against and why I am now supporting this bill. In 2003, the memory of a very difficult immigration of my then future son-in-law from China, who's a Chinese national, into this country, it just lingered in my mind to have an immigration system that is so broken, so difficult, and so abusive that when people try to obey the law and then have folks walk across the border, I was angered. And I expressed that anger on the floor of the Senate. Not long afterwards, I received a letter from a guidance counselor in Corvallis who said, I want to just put a face to this issue. And the letter was so eloquently written and so descriptive of a young lady that had great talent, had wonderful motivations, and came to her to plan her next steps in her life, only to have the door of opportunity closed because her family, she came to this country as a small child. Her family did not have the economic ability to support her and pay three times the tuition or to attend a private university. And that door of opportunity was closed for this young lady. And that just lingered in my mind, and I thought and thought and thought about it. And the question that kept coming back to me was, with respect to this policy and the opportunity for education, what is really in the best interest of our state, and what is in the best interest of these young people? And clearly, it fell, to my mind, a very pragmatic solution. Is that if we afford them the opportunity to improve their lives, Oregon will be a better place. It will be a better place. And the choice boils down to, do we expand the social safety net and deny opportunity, or do we allow them to have the status of paying in-state tuition like other persons and have an opportunity to improve their lives? And I fell on the side of, this is the right thing to do. And I wanted to share that story with you because where I started on this issue is not where I have ended up. And I would hope that this assembly would look at it in terms of really what's in our collective best interest. And I believe that this bill addresses something that will move us forward. It will not move us backward. The other thing that I found interesting in this whole journey is looking at a provision in the U.S. Constitution, Article 3, Section 3, and that addresses what is called a bill of attainder. And I would like to read for you what that a quote from that. It says, "But no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood." What does that mean? That's a very interesting term. It's an archaic term, actually. But what it means is that our offspring cannot be held accountable for our actions. That's what it means. And so what we are doing today is, by the policy we have in place today, we are denying the opportunity by virtue of the illegal actions of parents. The U.S. Constitution says that a
corruption of blood is not the policy of this country. And I would hope that we would recognize that and move this bill forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Representative Johnson.
thank you, Co-Chair Hunt and Co-Chair Olson. Thank you for the opportunity to be here to testify in regards to this bill. I'm one of the sponsors, chief co-sponsors of the bill. And I come to that position for an awful lot of reasons, most of which I don't want to take the time because there are other more interesting and valuable stories, I think, that you're going to hear today. But part of the reasoning for it is that I spent my career, professional career, as a community college instructor. I spent my career as a community college instructor in a community where we had a relatively substantial growing Hispanic population, and which also happened and during the Vietnam War to bring in quite a large number of Asian immigrants out of Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, et cetera, type of thing. As a community college instructor, I had a lot of opportunity to meet young people, and some of them not necessarily so young, but had a lot of opportunity, or had a lot of potential, but lacked opportunity. And that's the reason that I'm here today, to testify in favor of this bill and to ask humbly for your support in moving it on to the floor. A couple of points I'd like to make. This bill is not, underlined, is not a political bill. It's not a partisan issue. If you look at the states where this law is in existence right now, about half of them are Democrat and about half of them are Republican. It's not a liberal versus conservative issue. Because if you look at these states, you'll find that some of them, about half, are the most liberal states in our country, as we use the term liberal. If you look at it in the other side on conservative, about half are some of the most conservative states that we have in the United States. This bill is about fairness. Fairness to people. And I've tried to dedicate my life to that particular model. Fairness. And I think my good friend from the Senate, Senator Morris, has made the most salient point. A young person today who came to this country when they were maybe 2 or 3 years old and stayed here, grew up here, went to our grade schools, went through our junior middle schools and junior high schools and through our high schools, and you know, that young person has been involved deeply in the culture of this country and is culturally deeply attached to our country. To deny those talented, and there are many very talented young people who fall in this category, the opportunity to attend our fine universities simply isn't fair. I ask you, therefore, and I'll be conclude with this, to seriously consider and move this bill on to the House for a vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Representative Dumbro.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I erred. My name is Bob Jensen. I am state representative from House District 58. That consists of most of Umatilla County. Thank you.
Everyone knows the Dean of the House. Representative Dumbro.
Thank you very much, Chairs Hunt and Olson. I'm Michael Dumbro, State Representative for House District 45. That's Northeast Portland to Park Rose. And on behalf of my colleagues, I want to extend our deep appreciation for allowing us the time to really explore this very important issue. I'm going to ask you to put aside for now everything that you've heard about this bill before today and think about it in a different way, which I believe is the right way. What Senate Bill 742 does, plain and simple, is expand opportunity to more young Oregonians, something that we've been working on again and again this session. We've heard again and again just how important it is for our young people to have post-secondary skills if Oregon is to come out of this recession and move our state's economy, move our state's income above the national average. A number of important bills have been developed that would expand access to college and shorten the path to receiving a bachelor's degree. Legislators on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the building, are working to expand opportunity to all young Oregonians who have the skills and the proven ability and are willing and able to work hard. And that's what Senate Bill 742 is all about. Because there's a group of young Oregonians who have been priced out of higher education in this state. Even though they've grown up in Oregon, attended school here, graduated from high school, been accepted by an Oregon public university, they are unable to attend. As a result of their parents' documentation status, they are not considered to be Oregon residents for purposes of tuition, and so must pay between 3 and 4 times the in-state tuition that their peers do. And this they cannot do. Please remember that these are young people in whom we have already invested a great deal of time and resources during their years in K-12. And please remember that these kids have done their part to match our investment in them. They've overcome a number of barriers to become the first in their families to become eligible for college. That dream of qualifying for college, getting a college degree, and a good productive job kept them going through high school. They could have been headed for the streets, for a life of being a burden on society. Instead, they took that path that we want all young Oregonians to take. And then they hit this roadblock that holds them back and that prevents the state from capitalizing on the investment that we have already made in these young people. Federal law allows this tuition roadblock to be lifted if states passed tuition equity legislation, and over the last 10 years, 11 states have chosen to do so. Texas, New Mexico, California, Washington, Illinois, New York, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Utah, Kansas, and just last month, Maryland. In fact, Maryland's bill was signed just yesterday by its governor. It is time for Oregon to join them, and that's what Senate Bill 742 does. The bill states that students will be considered residents for tuition purposes if they meet the following criteria. Been in country for 5 years, at least. Attended an Oregon high school for at least 3 years. Graduated from an Oregon high school, been accepted for admission by an Oregon university, and filed an affidavit with the university that they have filed for legal residency or will as soon as they are eligible to do so. Colleagues, I know that you're being inundated by emails, some of them containing extreme speculations about what will happen in Oregon if this bill passes. Well, if we look at the experience of those other states, we'll be able to see just how tuition equity is playing out. we will see that it has given a number of young people hope and a better path without having any kind of adverse impact on the state. These states have not been flooded by increased numbers of illegal workers relative to other states. They have not seen any drain on their state coffers. We will, in fact, see that these states have experienced increased tuition revenue as a result of tuition equity, and many of these young people in these states are now citizens or on a real path to citizenship. Colleagues, I know that you've heard that tuition equity is not legal, that it violates federal legislation passed in 1996. What you will not hear from opponents is that no legal challenge to any of these state statutes has ever been successful. The most recent challenge in California was denied by that state's Supreme Court, which ruled unanimously in November that the tuition equity statute is consistent with federal law, and ours is patterned after theirs. To quote from that ruling, quote, if Congress had intended to prohibit states entirely from making unlawful aliens eligible for in-state tuition, it could easily have done so. It could simply have provided, for example, that an alien who is not lawfully present in the United States shall not be eligible for a post-secondary education benefit. But it did not do so, end quote. As long as state legislatures take the affirmative step of passing tuition equity and making it apply to all who meet the criteria of the statute, tuition equity will be upheld. We are so confident that Senate Bill 742 will meet legal scrutiny that we have included a provision for direct review of the bill by our own Oregon Supreme Court. There are other objections that you may hear about this bill, all of which are tied to fears that tuition equity will lead to an increase in illegal immigration. You will hear that tuition equity discriminates against potential students from other states. It does not. This nation's public college and university system is built on the idea that if you attend the public college or university in your state, you pay in-state tuition. If you want to go to another state, if you choose not to go to the university in your state, want to go to another state, then you must pay the non-resident fee. Or you can always move to that other state, establish residency there, and attend a university there at the in-state rate. That's not true for the young people that Senate Bill 742 is trying to help. They have nowhere else to go. You may also hear that giving in-state tuition to these young people will drain scarce state resources and shut out higher-paying students from other states. That is simply not true. As you will hear from representatives of OUS, admitting an SB 742 student will not shut out a potential non-resident student who meets entrance requirements. We have no enrollment caps in our universities, and according to OUS, the system has room for both in-state Senate Bill 742 students and out-of-state students who qualify. So the Senate Bill 742 students are not a cost to the system. They will not require additional expenditures by the universities. No additional sections will need to be opened or teachers hired for them. In fact, if you look at the fiscal analysis of Senate Bill 742, you will see that Ledge Fiscal believes that Senate Bill 742 will actually bring additional money to the universities. Without Senate Bill 742, these students would simply not be attending a university. With Senate Bill 742, they will be adding their in-state tuition dollars to the university budgets. The Oregon University System has analyzed the impact of tuition equity on the states that have it. They've looked at those other states, and they have concluded that tuition equity will help our state resources, not hurt them. And that's one of the reasons that Oregon's university presidents support tuition equity, and I think you have a letter from them. That's why, as you will hear, the State Board of Higher Education has unanimously endorsed tuition equity. Colleagues, you'll also hear from opponents that it makes no sense to confer degrees on students who will never be able to work legally in this state. Again, if we look at the other states that have had tuition equity for many years, we see that many of their young graduates are now working legally. The investment that has been made in them has been fully realized. You will hear from one of them today, Mariana Zamboni, a young woman from California who is exactly the student that Senate Bill 742 is intended to help and to take advantage of. And colleagues, I promise that you will be inspired. Colleagues, as I'm sure you know, the subject of immigration law is complex and in flux. It's not enough to consult a lawyer or even an ordinary immigration lawyer. We must look to people who have been working in this particular area of the law. Today, you will hear from Philip Smith, one of this state's and this nation's foremost experts in this area of the law, that the great majority of the students eligible for tuition equity will, in fact, be able to take advantage of it. Colleagues, everyone in this room knows that we as a nation will eventually come up with some form of immigration reform, which will create a path to citizenship for those most able to contribute to our society, to our country. When that happens, those 11 other states will have an educated workforce ready and willing to take full advantage of the law. Here in Oregon, on the other hand, if we do not institute tuition equity soon, we will have created a kind of lost generation without the high-level skills needed to succeed and to help Oregon to move forward. Many of them will, in fact, be a drain on our resources rather than an asset. Is that really the route we want to take? No, it's not. Because of its value to Oregon and the health of our economy, tuition equity has been endorsed by all of the state's major newspapers, by most of the regional newspapers, and by the state's principal business advocacy organizations, AOI, OBA, and the Portland Business Alliance. You'll hear from representatives of Oregon's businesses today, from a representative from AOI, along with a representative of Oregon's vital small business community. And finally, colleagues, I want to address the argument that tuition equity rewards lawbreakers. These kids are not lawbreakers. They are pursuers of the American dream. They are examples of exactly what we want our young people to do. Work hard, get good grades, dream big. I know them. I've taught them myself for the last 30 years. You heard from my colleague, Rep. Jensen, his experience with them. You'll be meeting some of them today, some of them and their teachers. They are exactly the kinds of kids we should be investing in. Many have lived here virtually their entire lives. They have no other country to go to. They have plenty to offer this state. But unfortunately, they have become the collateral damage of the immigration debate. That's wrong, and it's not the American way. In this country, we don't punish children for the actions of their parents. We try to show them a better way and open up that better way for them. These kids are not asking for any kind of handout. They're not going to receive any state or federal scholarships or financial aid. No extra benefits of any kind. All they're asking for is access. Access to opportunity, access to success, a chance to repay the people of this state for the investment we have made in them. Colleagues, that's what Senate Bill 742, the tuition equity bill, is all about. I urge you to listen, question, examine the written testimony that you'll be receiving, and then recommend that Senate Bill 742 receive a work session and be moved to the floor of our House of Representatives for a vote. Thank you, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I think we have all agreed that we are going to, in order to hear as many people as possible, we're going to defer on all questions for the day, and so we can get through as many folks as possible. Thank you all three very much.
And colleagues, you know where to find us.
We do.
Yes, we do.
We invite forward Chancellor Pernsteiner and Superintendent Castillo, and on deck, next up after them, will be Jim Ludwig, Ruth Bendel, and Bev Haynes.
Chair, I think you have a poor substitute for
okay. Actually, no, Jim, I've actually got you on the next panel, so if you want to defer, we'll just do Superintendent Castillo's got a time conflict, and then we'll go on to the next panel. Superintendent Castillo, welcome.
Thank you, Co-Chair Hunt and Co-Chair Olson and members of the committee. Susan Castillo, the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the State of Oregon. I'm going to be very brief because I know you have a lot of people that you're going to be hearing from, and you have a written statement from me in support of Senate Bill 742. And great testimony from the previous panel. I don't know that I could really add much more, so I am going to be very, very brief. I am here to support Senate Bill 742 for moral reasons and for economic reasons. It is the right thing to do for our young people who are playing by the rules, doing everything that they need to do, working hard and dreaming big, and this helps us realize their dreams. There are rigorous and fair sideboards and requirements to students who would be eligible to meet the requirements of this statute, this this proposal, this Senate bill, and I think that it is a very rigorous target for children to meet in order to be able to benefit from in-state tuition. For economic reasons, I think that our state benefits when we increase the skill and the knowledge of our people, and that's exactly what will happen if this bill is able to become law. So I think that we need to be thinking about the benefits economically to the state of Oregon when we take a look at this legislation. So I urge your support. I hope this does make it to the House, and that we can see this bill signed by the governor of Oregon, and that we can also join the other states that are saying in the United States of America, we do support people who play by the rules, work hard, and really can want to live the American dream. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So up now, Jim Ludwig, Ruth Bendel, Bev Haynes on deck, Jim Francisconi, Roy, is it Cook, Provost of PSU, and Preston Williams. So Ruth Bendel
She's
here?
Right.
There's Ruth. And what about Bev Haynes? There we go. Great. Jim, please proceed. Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chair Hunt, Chair Olson, members of the committee. My name is Jim Ludwig. I'm here on behalf of Oregonians for Immigration Reform in opposition to Senate Bill 742. Senate Bill 742 would give in-state tuition rates to illegal aliens. Currently at the University of Oregon, the difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition is about $17,600 per year. That means that if this bill would pass, an illegal alien would get a $17,600 benefit per year, a benefit that would be denied to an American citizen who happened to graduate from high school from Idaho, Washington, California, or any other state. A legal out-of-country student would have to pay $17,600 more in tuition than somebody who's illegally here. That makes no sense. There's also a cost. In 2003, the first iteration of this bill, Senate Bill 10, the fiscal office said that if only 68 students took advantage of the program, it would cost Oregon taxpayers $1.6 million for a biennium. If you look at the current tuition rates and factor in 105 students, the cost balloons up to $3.5 million a biennium. That is money that's going to be taken away from American students. Even if an illegal alien were to get a in-state tuition, even if they were to go to a university and graduate, they can't legally use their degree because it's illegal for them to work in the United States, no matter what people on this panel or in that who testified earlier want to say. Proponents of this bill call it tuition equity. How can it be tuition equity if an American citizen has to pay $17,600 more in tuition than an illegal alien? How can it be tuition equity if a legal, out-of-country student who comes in here and really plays by the rules has to pay $17,600 in tuition more than somebody who's illegal here? This bill is bad policy. It rewards illegal activity, and it should not advance beyond this committee hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Ruth, welcome.
My name is Ruth Bendel. Do you need my address?
Nope.
No.
Proceed.
Okay, thank you. I'm here to oppose this bill, too, given the financial stress that this state, like many other states in the nation, is in. But more importantly, there is another option for any of those children. and that is they can enlist with the military, because the military will then pay as much as half of their tuition bill, as well as giving them additional education while they are training. I know this because even though my son was a legal resident, in fact he was born here, he opted to go into the Air Force and wait 6 years before he subsequently went to college. So don't please try to tell us that there is no other option for the children of illegal aliens. There is an option. And with our country embedded in three wars and God knows how many more and for how long, we need their help. And I would like to quote from former President John F. Kennedy, and that is, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that, I think, is appropriate for those families and for their kids. What can they show and do for us? Thank you.
Welcome. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Deb Hames. Good afternoon, Chair Hunt and members of the committee. I'm testifying on Senate Bill 742A, which is an attempt to give in-state tuition to illegal aliens. In previous Oregon legislative sessions, similar bills to Senate Bill 742A have failed. It is beyond my comprehension why any of you would entertain a single thought and go forward with this bill. These children, whom this in-state tuition is all about, have parents who broke into the United States illegally and brought them to Oregon. This act is criminal. Americans believe in the rule of law. You do not reward criminal behavior. Throughout the years, Oregon taxpayers have given each of these illegal alien children 12 years of American education with no thanks. They just demand more. I must say, each of these illegal alien children have been taught very well by their criminal parents to continue perpetrating their illegal presence and demands in our state and our country. I ask you, why is the state of Oregon wasting taxpayers' time and money again and again on bills that help anyone who is here illegally? These illegal alien children cannot work legally in the United States of America because it is against federal law. Why the need for Senate Bill 742A? I have spent many years working in the criminal justice system and know firsthand what happens to children when their parents engage in criminal behavior. These American citizen children would have to pay thousands of dollars more per year than an illegal alien child if Senate Bill 742A passed. Where is the equity there? I ask you to please vote no on Senate Bill 74A. Thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate you being here. So I'm now Jim Francisconi, Roy and Preston, and on deck we have Mike Idem, I believe. That's what you think that is?
Idem?
Yes. Idem or Idem. Carol Nybert and Stella Gunther. Thanks for waiting for the panel, Jim. Please proceed.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you. Co-Chair Hunt, Co-Chair Olson, members of the committee. My name is Jim Francisconi. I'm the Vice Chair of the Oregon State Board of Higher Education. On behalf of the President, Paul Kelly, the Chancellor, George Bernsteiner, all of the university presidents, and the unanimous group of the Higher Ed Board, we're asking you to support tuition equity in Oregon and to approve this bill. On March 4th, 2011, the State Board unanimously endorsed Senate Bill 742. So now the presidents, the chancellor, the board, we're all aligned with the visionary leadership of the Student Association that's been pushing for this for many years. Passage of this bill will send a clear message to all of our students, including our growing population of Latino students, that if you work hard, graduate from an Oregon high school, and seek a path to citizenship, we want you in our state, we want you to contribute to the economic base of the state, and we want you to pay taxes and support other Oregonians who have the same dreams and ambitions. If you do all these things, we will find a place for you in our colleges and universities, and we will not hold you responsible for the actions of others. We certainly will not exclude other qualified Oregonian citizens from our universities and colleges either, by the way, to make a place for you. The state has already invested in these students. Without passage of this bill, Oregon will miss out on the talent and skills of these students, who are a key part of the state's community and culture, I would add, and miss out on gaining a return on investment when these students earn a higher education and are taxpaying Oregonians supporting the state that supported them. If these students are good enough and qualified enough for the military to protect our country, which they are, then they're good enough for Oregon. We are not talking about giving anything away. We're talking about setting a reasonable level of cost sharing for our higher education system, the same level of cost sharing that we have set for our resident students. And this is an important point. Even at resident tuition rates, these students will still be paying for a significant amount of their education. In fact, they'll be paying more than the state is paying for them because tuition is now higher than the state support, and they do not qualify for any assistance on the tuition. So, in fact, they'll be paying more than many Oregonian students or citizens. The unanimous endorsement of the State Board of Higher Education included support of such business leaders on the board as Alan Ford from Rosenberg Lumber, Matt Donegan, Forest Capital Partners, Jill Island, Intel, Kirk Schuler, St. Charles Hospital, and others. These business leaders understand that this bill will contribute to a strong future workforce and economy, especially as Oregon becomes more dependent on the workforce skills and innovation of our Latino residents, citizens, and community members. The same week that this state Senate was taking action on this bill, the U.S. Congress was holding hearings at the request of business groups on expanding the number of visas to allow more foreign college graduates to work here. Since the business community is looking for more college grads who are not U.S. citizens, why not start with our own who have roots in our communities? So in conclusion, we would like to commend the legislative champions who deserve special recognition, Representatives Jensen, Representative Denbro, and Senator Frank Morris, who embody the best of political leadership. Now we ask you to add your voices and votes for education equity and opportunity for all Oregonians. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Jim. Roy.
Thank you. Co-Chair Hunt, Co-Chair Olson, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Roy Cook. I'm the Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs at Portland State University, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today about our support for Senate Bill 742 and the importance of tuition equity. As you know, the presidents of Portland State, the University of Oregon, and Oregon State have strongly supported the tuition equity for children of undocumented immigrants, and they've expressed their support for Senate Bill 742, and I believe in a letter to the committee. At Portland State, we're committed to enhance educational opportunity that eases the transition and creates a more effective pathway for students to move from K-12 to higher education. This is precisely what Senate Bill 742 would do. By 2025, one in four students in the K-12 system in Oregon is expected to be Hispanic. Currently, only 56% of the state's Hispanic students ultimately complete high school. Without the promise of college, these numbers probably won't get much better. Education is a pathway to success, and we're blocking access to it by charging out-of-state tuition to students who may have attended every single year of K-12 in Oregon. Not only is this inequitable, it's wasteful, because these children are allowed to attend elementary and secondary school in our state. We have already made a large investment. We should build on that investment rather than toss it aside. Tuition equity is the right thing to do. Because of our declining economy, this is also the right time to institute it. You have a choice to allow students to continue their education or condemn many of them to low-wage jobs rather than the kind of careers that will make Oregon prosper. If you choose education, you're not only helping these students, you're helping build Oregon's future economy. Just so it's simply not abstract, the cost to attend PSU full-time at an in-state tuition rate is about $6,000 per year. Taking the same exact course load, it currently costs about $17,000 for students from out of state. Children of undocumented immigrants are unable to get federal grants or loans, making college virtually impossible. Oregon is doing better than some states. Two don't even allow children of undocumented immigrants to enroll, regardless of the rate of tuition.
Could you please wrap it up, Roy?
Yeah.
Thanks.
So, as you can hear, we're a strong supporter of this bill. We think it's an important one, and we'd be happy to answer questions.
Great. Thank you. Presto, welcome.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. To Co-Chair Hunt, Co-Chair Olson, committee members. I'm President Williams. I have the honor of being District President of Portland Community College. Also, I serve as President of the Oregon President's Council and also a member of the State Board of Higher Education. I certainly appreciate to be allowed a few moments to testify in support of this bill. The basis for my support of this bill is simply two areas. One, I simply believe in the principle of fairness, and two, I believe in America's promise. And that promise goes somewhat like this, that if you do the right things and you work hard, there should be avenues of opportunities made available to you here in America. I also support this bill because several other factors that I think are absolutely key. One is the understanding that Oregon, if it passes this bill, will be joining 11 other states in support of this bill. That indeed there's a sense it will stand up to a court challenge. Also, although it does not directly impact community colleges, we certainly, as a sector of post-secondary education, support the goals of this bill, which is about affordable access to higher education. I'd just like to close with just five quick points or things that I remember about this bill and why I support it. That one, these students broke no law in coming here. They were children. Two, tuition equity increases our state's educational attainment goals of 40-40-20. Three, tuition equity means an influx of funding for Oregon's community colleges and universities. Four, more of our workforce will also need to be well-educated and well-prepared to compete in this ever-changing global economy. And finally, it is in Oregon's best interest to keep these high-achieving students moving forward. Denying them the ability to attend college is a disservice to them and to the state of Oregon and to America. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate you being here. Up right now, Mike, Carol, and Stella on deck. It's either Margaret Kirkpatrick or Betsy Earls, one of the two of them, and then Jose Gonzalez and Mike Roach. Welcome to the Rules Committee. Let's begin with Mike. Welcome.
Thank you. Chairman Hunt, Chairman Olson, and members of the committee. My name is Mike Item, and I'm here in opposition to Senate Bill 742. I'm a U.S. citizen, born and raised in Oregon, and a decorated U.S. war veteran. My wife is a legal resident of Oregon from Canada. The Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act was passed by the federal government in 1996. I found some interesting information in this federal law that takes precedent over the proposed legislation in Senate Bill 742, and in fact puts the state of Oregon in violation of this federal law. Section 505 of this law deals directly with the limitation on eligibility for preferential treatment of aliens not lawfully present on basis of resident for higher education benefits. Paragraph A states, and I'm quoting, "An alien who is not lawfully present in the United States shall not be eligible on the basis of resident within the state for any post-secondary education benefit unless citizens or legal nationals of the United States are eligible for such a benefit in no less an amount, duration, and scope, without regard to whether the citizen or legal national is a resident." What this means is an alien is not eligible for an in-state tuition benefit unless all U.S. citizens or legal nationals are eligible for the same benefit, even if they don't reside in the state. If this law passes, all out-of-state tuition fees to any U.S. citizen or legal nationals would be illegal per this federal law. I have three questions. If our state university system cannot legally charge out-of-state tuition fees to any U.S. citizen or legal national, how would that affect their budgets? Two, what would the financial burden be to the taxpayers of Oregon to subsidize these potential losses? And number three, explain how passing Senate Bill 742, that is clearly in violation of this federal law passed in 1996, teaches the students you seem so concerned about to respect the laws governing this country. Do the right thing. Oppose Senate Bill 742. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol?
Thank you. Thank you all, committee members. I also am against Senate Bill 742. I can't speak as eloquently as everybody before me.
You need to say your name for the record, please.
Carol Nybert.
Thanks.
I can only speak passionately from my heart. You speak, first I'll say that I'm a lifelong Oregonian. My children were born, raised, graduated from the University of Oregon. My granddaughters were born, raised here. Like the previous speakers have said, these illegal children have come because their parents brought them. My granddaughters, because my son had to take a job in another state, they had to go with their parents. They would like to go to the University of Oregon where their parents graduated. They unfairly, as Oregon-born U.S. citizens, would have to pay out-of-state tuition, and I don't think that's fair. Illegals have not paid taxes. Wall Street Journal, April 21st, employers are keeping two sets of books. Nobody is paying taxes, whether it's Social Security or Medicare or any of the other taxes, either the employers or the student or the parents, the illegal parents. And I'm just against it. I'm an Oregonian. And my granddaughters are Oregonian. These people are not Oregonians. They're not legal, and with a degree would not be able to legally work, and I would hope Oregon would adopt E-Verify like many other states so that we can get this cut off at the head. So legal residents can work and not be go behind illegals. Previous wrongs do not make a right. Children that are allowed, illegals, children that are allowed to go to grade school, high school, you know, I think that's wrong too. But I particularly think this is wrong, and I think a U.S. citizen, particularly an Oregon-born U.S. citizen, should go to the head of the line. And that's it.
Great. Thank you very much. Stella.
Yes.
If you just pull one mic or the other to you, that'd be great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Excuse me, please. Yes, Co-Chairman Hunt and Olson and the committee, I appreciate being able to testify today. Mine is real simple. I have emailed each one of you, I think, two letters that you should have received, and I know that Mr. Hunt did, because Mr. Hunt responded to me. And the subject of my email was time to obey the law. And I think that is an extremely important thing that we do. There are so many laws that are being set aside, and as you are elected to your offices, we as citizens expect that you will obey the laws that are set forth. And I feel badly for the children, because we all want to help the children. But when their parent, it is the parent's responsibility to know the law of the land. And if they know the law of the land, or they tend to ignore the law of the land, and they do not provide the necessities for their children when they get to this age where they are going to need to want to go to college or want to get a job, then they should have performed what was necessary to do to make that possible for their children. It is not up to us to turn our backs on the law and not expect that they would be responsible for that. I have things here that I could say that everybody who has been up here has already said. You'll have my written testimony to look at. But I hurt for the children, because it's my heart. It's my heart. Kids are my heart. But We have to be role models to hold up the law and to go by the laws of our land. And what happens, they go to school and they get this, and yes, they say they're going to go for their citizenship, but what if they don't have it? And there's the other that the businesses can't hire illegal aliens. So there's this snowball that comes into place. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say, because you'll read this and you've already heard from me. As I say, the children are my heart. The one thing that my family came here.
If you could wrap up, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah, my family came here from, my mom and her entire family came here from England. My father came here with four friends from Greece, and they became citizens. And my grandfather, bless his heart, was at the front of every single parade he could possibly be at with the American flag. And I think that it is absolutely wonderful that he was there. But that is something that, because they did that, he could do that. I could go to the schools in my country, and it's just that these people have to go as those before them have and obey the laws, get their citizenship. Their children are set to go, and that's the order that it has to go in.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all being here. Up right now we have Betsy, Jose, and Mike, and on deck Ted Campbell, Cynthia Kendall, and Gregory Kendall. If you are on deck, it actually might be helpful if you gather over here by Mr. Sembridge, and he can take any testimony you have and get you queued up and ready to go. Yep. So, Jose, why don't we begin with you, and then go right down the panel. Welcome.
Thank you, members of the committee, and Chairman Hunt, Chairman Olson. My name is Jose Gonzalez. I'm a small business owner. I'm president of Tucasa Real Estate. We have been assisting the community with the residential and commercial real estate needs for the past 18 years. And at Tucasa Real Estate, we value education. That's why we're in support of Senate Bill 742. I have a perfect example of why it makes economic sense. 12 years ago, we assisted the Cortez family with their first home. In 2010, they introduced us to their son, Bernardo. Bernardo was a recent graduate of Oregon State University with a degree in engineering. He was quickly recruited by PGE with a very generous salary, and I'm happy to report he is now a very happy, responsible homeowner. We believe that education instills a sense of confidence, security, and stability for individuals and our community. Our opinion is SB 742 advances by increasing graduation rates, college enrollment, educator employment, and an educated workforce displaying modern thinking, skills, and higher salaries. We believe SB 742 will translate into a stronger, more competitive Oregon economy, both nationally and globally. You see, every single day my job is to also sell Oregon. Without SB 742, we believe many would abandon their academic ambitions. For many others, it would mean graduating with overwhelming student loans. The effects would be a big step backwards for our great state. Education is an opportunity given to us, which creates opportunities for others. My passion is to help support the dreams of others and help secure that the American dream for generations to come is also viable. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Betsy, welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, for the record, Betsy Earls, representing Associated Oregon Industries, in support of House Bill 742. 742 supports the Oregon business community's goal of achieving a more educated and skilled workforce for our state. Oregon's economy relies on a highly skilled and trained workforce to meet the economic demands of our present and future. And as the global economy increasingly requires advanced skills and educational attainment, it's important to us that all Oregonians have the most opportunity possible to attain, to become trained and skilled in order to remain as competitive as they can be. Senate Bill 742 is important to the economy and to the business community in three important ways. So I'll just cover those and let other people tell you about other parts of the bill. But first, educated Oregonians are absolutely essential for economic recovery and growth. Post-secondary education attainment leads to significantly higher wages for individuals and increased economic success for businesses, and that strengthens the state's economic growth. The more educated individuals we have access to as businesses, the stronger our communities will be. Second, it's important to taxpayers. In the 1982 case of Plyler versus Doe, the United States Supreme Court held that the child of an undocumented parent can't be denied a basic K-12 education. That means that we as a state have paid for that K-12 education, and it makes sense for us to realize the benefits of that education in allowing them time and access to post-secondary education. And third, it's important to future business success. As has been well documented this session, Oregon has fallen below the national average in educational attainment, and if current trends continue, we'll be unable to fill the need for highly skilled workers through increased migration of college students from other states. For those reasons, the business community supports Senate Bill 742, and we urge your support also.
Great. Thank you. Mike, welcome.
Honorable Co-Chairs Olson and Hunt and members of the committee, my name is Mike Roach. With my wife, I've co-owned Paloma Clothing in Southwest Portland for 36 years. I've been a paid member of NFIB for 34 of those years. I've been president of the Hillsdale Business and Professional Association for the past 15 years. I'm proud to say that my wife and I remain business partners and are still married. With her blessing, I have taken time away from our business today to speak in support of SB 742. While the bill would appear to be about the college years, all about the college years, I see it as very much about the years that precede college, in particular the high school years. In our business, through many employees and lots of trial and error, we've learned carrots are far more effective than sticks as motivators. We've learned that carrots are far more effective motivators than our sticks. I see SB 742 as one of those carrots that could become one of our most powerful potential tools for encouraging students to graduate from high school and be far more likely to be contributors to Oregon's economy than if they failed to complete high school. Our many years in business have also taught us the importance of following through on investments in our business and our community, and that those investments often don't pay dividends until the very end. SB 742 represents an opportunity to take full advantage of our investment in K-12 education of these students as they mature into adults that can contribute to the economic vitality of our state and add to its entrepreneurial spirit. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today. I respectfully ask that you support SB 742.
Thank you all. Appreciate you being here. Up right now we have Ted, Cynthia, and Gregory. On deck, Philip Smith, Mariana Zamboni, and Paz Ramos. Whichever one of you is Ted, go ahead. Okay, Ted, welcome.
Co-Chairman Hunt and Olson, members of the board, good afternoon. My name is Ted Campbell, Command Sergeant Major, U.S. Army, retired. I'm here to beg you not to pass the tuition assistance program for those that are not in this country legally. They're here illegally. For years, we have asked for a reduction in tuition for veterans of the armed forces. It is true that they get the GI Bill, but that does not cover everything. If they are married or have a family, they have to work full-time along with going to college to use the GI Bill. I believe the maximum they get is $51,000 if they enlist for 5 years and donate to their own funds. And that will not cover all this, plus keep a family with health benefits and everything else. These veterans have fought and shed blood for the stars and bars and gave up the right, also fought to give you the right to sit there and to spend their tax money. Now we want to reward those who have broken the law and entered this country illegally. You want to reward people for breaking the law. What is next? Allow those who steal cars to go to community colleges free, because you're setting a precedent here rewarding people that do things illegally. What part of illegal do you not understand? You say that illegals are only here to do the jobs that no one else will do. They say they work for below minimum wage. If that is so, then they'll be back to ask for money to go to school because they can't afford to pay the tuition that you're offering them. They know that they are here against the law and that it is a crime to be here and do not care. If they want to go to college, let them go home to their home of record and go to college there. If you allow the bill to pass, they will go to school here and possibly return to their own country and use what they've learned against us. You all took an oath to protect this country against enemies, foreign and domestic, and you're not doing this when you reward people for breaking the law. You are showing the veterans that you feel more for lawbreakers than you do for those who fought and protected this country. Please vote against this bill and enforce the law. If you feel that you need to lower tuition to colleges for someone, do it for those that deserve it and that have obeyed the law, not for those that have broken the law. If those... Okay. And thank you. I see my lights out, so great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Whichever one of you would like to go, go ahead. Welcome.
My name is Greg Kendall. I'm from Salem. It doesn't matter which side of the immigration debate that you're on. In order for a law to be good, it has to be specific, actionable, and deliver what it promises. And I believe that this bill fails that test. Section 2.1C of the bill stipulates that to be eligible for the benefits of the bill, a person has to intend to become a citizen, which overlooks two key facts. Firstly, the state of Oregon has no standing to determine or monitor this intent. Any attempt to do so would be guesswork, since that's the sole domain of the federal government. Second, in order for an illegal alien to pursue citizenship, he or she would have to generally return to their country of origin and reside there while following the lengthy immigration process legally. This would preclude anyone from obeying the provisions of Senate Bill 742. The only way that this bill could become broadly applicable is with the passage of a mass amnesty at the federal level. As many pundits and politicians, including Representative Dembro, dismiss as inevitable. But we have to point out that over the last two decades, several mass amnesties have come before Congress under presidents from both parties, and not a single one has ever been made law. Banking on a federal amnesty, any action of the federal government to make enforceable the provisions of this bill is short-sighted and reckless. Senate Bill 742, I believe, is bad for several reasons, but one reason that should concern advocates on both sides of the debate is the fact that it promises far more than it can deliver. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Cynthia, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, Co-Chair Olson and Co-Chair Hunt, for hearing my testimony today. I would like to
identify yourself for the record. Would be great.
I'm sorry, Cynthia Kendall from Salem. I would like to dub this bill the feel-good flop of this session. I think that everybody wants to feel like they're doing something good for the children of illegal aliens, but we've kind of glossed over the fact that while the children were not brought here of their own free will, supposedly, they are still illegal aliens in our country. And I agree with everybody that has said that why this legislature is spending time helping people illegally in our country really disturbs me as a citizen. I would also like to point out what was neglected to be mentioned when Rep. Dembro was mentioning all the states that have passed, the 11 states that have passed tuition equity bills. One state has already withdrawn that bill, and more states are looking at it because of the impact on their states. That was left out of his testimony. I also would like to have explained by the supporters of this bill, if this isn't a bill to reward illegal behavior, written into this bill says that the student must be dependent. That would imply that they would be dependent upon their parents. And if they're dependent upon their parents, aren't they the ones that are benefiting from paying in-state tuition? Also, if they're living with their parents and their parents are going to help them pay for school, aren't they also working in our state illegally? So there are very many things that aren't being addressed while we're all patting ourselves on our back about what a nice thing we're doing for these children. I think that the Oregon citizen, the Oregon college student, and the Oregon taxpayer are getting the shaft in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. Appreciate your testimony. Up right now we have Philip, Mariana, and Paz. On deck, Robert Powell, Peter Dane, and David Cross.
Okay.
Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Olson and Co-Chair Hunt and the committee members. Thank you. My name is Philip Smith. I'm a partner in the law firm of Nelson Smith in Portland. I'm an Oregonian by choice. I have been practicing immigration law for the past 17 years. I was in immigration court this morning. I regularly am in front of the Department of Homeland Security, Citizenship and Immigration Services, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Numerous federal court judges are on the record saying that the immigration law is a labyrinth only rivaled by, in complexity by the tax code. And so it's quite understandable, I think, that there's some confusion about the immigration law. And I would be very happy to answer anyone's questions. And if this isn't the right time in the future, if I can address your questions, I'd be more than happy to do that. I can tell you that we see hundreds of individuals each year that come to us who, and all of them are wanting to comply with the immigration law. Many of them, in fact, are in this mythical line that you hear about, waiting for a visa to become available to them. And many of the students that will be the beneficiaries of this bill are in that line. And whether it's this year or next year or the following year, they then will have an opportunity to apply for permanent resident status. Now, it depends on the timing of when the petition was filed. It depends on when they got in line, whether or not they will be able to apply directly here in the United States lawfully, as the law allows, or whether or not they would need to apply at a visa in their home country to return. I can tell you we regularly help people do that. Typically, if they do have to go to their home country, that process typically takes 3 to 6 months. So it's not that there is not an option available to them. There are options. It's complicated. It's confusing. But again, if I can address any questions that you have in the future, I'm more than happy to do so. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Welcome.
Chair Hunt, Chair Olson, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today. For the record, I am Mariana Zamboni, and I feel very honored to share with you the impact that California's in-state tuition bill has had on my life. Please keep in mind that one life can impact a family, a neighborhood, a community, and a society. But Robert Kennedy coined it's a ripple effect. I love research, but I won't drown you with percentages or numbers. I've had a tough life, but I won't share sad stories. I want to share a little bit about my life because it is a vivid illustration of the powerful effect policies have on individual lives. I am an immigrant from Guatemala. I moved to Los Angeles in the early 1990s to be reunited with my mother. She can hear me. She left Guatemala in 1988. She was a nurse in Guatemala, but the economic instability my country suffered due to the Civil War left the country in pretty bad shape, and it was difficult to survive with the income that she was making. The process to come to the United States legally can be expensive and extremely long, and when you're trying to survive, individuals are willing to choose extreme measures. So my mother entered this country without proper documentation, and I followed after. I grew up in L.A., and I went to public schools, and I kept hearing from teachers that if I worked hard, I can go to college. But despite taking honor classes, being the editor-in-chief of the yearbook, treasurer for senior class, my dreams were stalled when I learned that as an undocumented student, the chances of pursuing a college degree were next to impossible. Undocumented status hinders students from receiving financial aid, loans, and scholarships, and they charge undocumented students many, many times more than in-state tuition, and I come from a low-income background, so I had no idea how my educational dreams were going to come true, but I had the ability and the desire to go on to college, and I felt I was being forced into the underground economy. But to my luck, AB 540, a similar bill 540 was passed in California in 2001. Granting students, regardless of immigration status, a chance to pay in-state tuition if certain criteria is met. Basically, AB 540 opened the doors of higher education for me, and I graduated from UCLA in 2001.
If you could wrap it up, please.
Yeah.
Thanks.
After being undocumented for 16 years, I was able to fix my status through NACARA. Through that, I was also able to go on to Harvard, a graduate school of education. And I wouldn't want you to remember me as an immigrant girl that worked hard and achieved the American dream. Reality is that without the passage of specific laws that affected my life, the trajectory of my life would have been very, very different. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Chair Santin Olson, member of the committee. My name is Paz Ramos. I'm the principal of Alder Elementary with the Reynolds School District. I am proud to share that we are the first dreamer school in the nation, in the whole nation, as my students put it. Now, Alder Elementary is a place where college begins for our kids. Kids know that when they enter the halls of Alder, they're getting ready for college. You ask my kindergartners, and they'll tell you they're the class of 2027. That's a year they're going to graduate from college. They know that, and they believe it, because they know it because we tell them so. I'm in support of Senate Bill 742 for the following reasons. Supporting this bill is a way that we can show the Latino community they are part of the Oregon family. As you know, that's a family that's really grown, the Latino is, and so they need to be part of this family that Oregon has. And Oregon is a big family. We want all of our students to have their eyes at college, regardless of their documented status. So SB 742 will increase the opportunity for all of our students to be successful individuals in our state. My students are getting ready for college now. They know when they enter the halls of Alder Elementary. You walk into my building, you walk into the gym, there's college banners there. Everything there is college for them. At Alder, we have set high expectations for all of our students. You are going to college, no matter what. We have no excuses at Alder Elementary. You are going to college. That dream can be really reality for more students if this bill is passed. We have the philosophy for our school that we don't accept excuses for why our students cannot make it to college. If this bill does not pass, some of our students can't have an excuse, would have an excuse why they want to make it to college. We wouldn't accept excuses at Alder Elementary. I want to leave you with, going back to history, the Bracero program. The Bracero program in 1942, when the United States needed help from Mexico for labor work. You open up the doors because you need help from them. Now my children are asking for your help. Don't close those doors on them. They need you. They need us to get to where they need to be. Their dream big. Don't take that away from my kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Up right now, Robert, Peter, and David. On deck, Representative Betty Comp, Dina Helms, and Brian Lemos, who will join us by phone. Hopefully he's watching online. Welcome to the Rules Committee. Which one's Robert?
Okay.
Yeah, welcome.
Chairman Hunt and the rest of the committee. I came down here because I am an Oregon citizen. I was born here. I'm English, Irish, German, and American Indian. And I believe that while we're attempting to do something that's important, ignoring... Oh, I'm sorry. It's Lieutenant Robert Powell.
Great, thanks.
And I've sent all of you emails. If you consider them crispy, I apologize. But I believe that we are looking at some sort of idea that college is some sort of magic idea. And I, as a high school graduate, was taken into the Coast Guard, which an illegal cannot do. But at that time... I went from E1 to E7, was accepted for officer candidate school, became a junior officer, which any individual can do with a high school education and enough graduates. Their grades have to be reasonable. I don't see where college is actually the end goal for what we're doing in life. Our life is a learning education for all of our life. And when I look at you individuals, you are appearing to want to not agree with federal law, which disturbs me greatly. It's one of the reasons I'm here. And I took an oath to the Constitution of both the state and the country, and I think that you did too. And when you do that, it precludes your ability to negotiate away from federal law. And I apologize if I sound, disrespectful in that regard. There's no intent to do that. My ancestors were Supreme Court justices in Oregon. My grandfather owns the Deepwood House. I am not here because I want to be disrespectful, but I think you need to take this back and realize that we're all in it together.
Thank you very much. Peter. Welcome.
Thank you. Chairs Olson and Hunt and other representatives, my name's Peter Dane. I live in Salem. And my comments are that Senate Bill 742 may appear to be poetic justice for many students with residency issues. But as a Democrat, I find it well intended for educational parity. On a fiscal level, it would further impact the tenuous funding for Oregon public education in 2011. Looking at the big picture, passage of Senate Bill 742 would be a capstone of a very expensive fiscal pyramid to provide education for children of legal and illegal immigrants. Currently, more than 80% of the increase in school enrollment is by recent immigrant siblings. Most of these parents have paid little or no taxes. The results are unsustainable funding for public education. It appears that educating children of recent immigrants is more expensive, but popular English as a Second Language school programs, ESL, received more than 10 times the funding that programs for talented and gifted students do. ESL also absorbs funds that should go to vocational training and professionally oriented courses. Senate Bill 742's passage will necessitate an expensive administration staff to monitor all the requirements. Let's promote the merit system. We should not accept the lame excuse of racism leveled at those who reasonably question the viability of Senate Bill 742. Public higher education tuition has become egregiously expensive. It was once comparatively low and student debt was minimal. Public higher education is no longer an affordable means of upward mobility.
Wrap it up, please.
Okay. Presently, all students need to plan far ahead to line up work, scholarship, and other funding to pay for costly tuition. If there is a question of residency, then secondary school counselors must encourage these students to have the moral resolve to remedy the legal issues before applying for college admission. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
Thank you.
David, hello, hello, my name is David Cross, and I'm from Salem, Oregon, and I'm here to speak in opposition to Senate Bill 742. Co-Chairman Hunt, Co-Chairman Olson, committee members, I think this bill is just too expensive. I did some research, and I looked at it. There's an estimated, according to the Pew Hispanic Center, 160,000 undocumented foreign nationals in our state. Chairman George Pernsteiner, Chancellor of Higher Education, indicated that there's up to 15 students per that would attend Oregon's seven major universities. And I looked at Portland State University, the cost in lost tuition revenue to just Portland State University per student and being about $14,000 a year. Over a four-year period, Portland State University, if this bill passes, Senate Bill 742, would cost in lost tuition revenue upwards of, I guess, about over, let's see, $56,000 in lost tuition revenue. If 105 students is what George Pernsteiner was saying in his Oregonian article, 105 students would cost the Oregon Department of Higher Education, all seven major universities, upwards of $5,880,000 in lost tuition revenue. We're going through the worst recession I've seen in my lifetime. Unemployment rates at 10%. I got some other numbers that I didn't add to my testimony. Francisco Lopez, the executive director of because on February 11th or 12th of this year said there's upwards of 31,000 undocumented foreign national students waiting in the wings. The cost to educate those individuals to the higher education system during the worst recession we faced in most of our lifetimes would be $1,736,000,000. That's huge. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you all. Up right now, Representative Betty Kump. Dina, yeah, and we're going to go ahead and call Brian Lemos. If you want to dispense just one moment, Representative Kump, so you don't have a ringing sound while you're talking. Hey, Brian, this is the House Rules Committee, so you're going to be up in two more speakers if you'll hang with us for a few minutes.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
And you're live now, and you'll have, if you can put it on mute, because we're getting a lot of background noise. Okay, great.
What's that?
So you'll be on, we've got a two-minute time clock, you'll be on in just a couple of minutes. You're two speakers down the list.
All right, thank you.
Representative Kump, you're on. Welcome.
Okay, thank you, Chair Hunt, Chair Olson, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Betty Kump. I represent House District 22, which includes the cities of Woodburn, Jervis, as well as Northeast Salem. Today I support Senate Bill 742, which would allow students to receive tuition, resident tuition in Oregon. Colleagues, I'm a mom. I raised four children while going to college and working full-time. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy. Even back then, which was 20 years ago, going to college was a major expense that many could not afford. Our family had to do without lots of everyday things to make ends meet. We had to quit using the dishwasher to save soap and power. The basics of life were our staples. Even these cuts, I still incurred a hefty debt to my education. I know what it's like to get a tuition bill in the mail and wondering how are you going to pay for it. As a principal and a teacher, I saw lots of students whose parents couldn't afford to send them to college, in-state or otherwise. So when I hear people talk about students who went to our high schools and worked full-time at Safeway, McDonald's, the drag strip, anywhere to help their families survive, I get concerned. I'm concerned about their lost study time. I'm concerned about their ability to save for the future. And my heart aches for all of our students who have been educated in our beautiful state and yet are looking at spending $30,000 or more for a bachelor's degree. I ache for them and I ache for our community. We are designating them to a lifelong second-class status. Members, I lived that status for 40 years and it's not fun. The majority of these students didn't choose their living conditions any more than my children chose their living conditions while I was going to college. They gave up a lot to support me. All of our students want the chance to be professionals and to support our country and our state. And I see the red light, but I'm going to keep going. I know these students. I've counseled these students. I've taught these students. House District 22 has some of the highest poverty in the state, and there are hundreds of our students who deserve the right to reach their full academic potential. They are our future, and I believe in them. Our state has a goal that 40% of all of our students will get a bachelor's degree, 40% will get an associate's degree. These are the students that we're talking about to reach those goals. These students are not the problem, but part of the solution for Oregon's economic situation for the future. I urge your support for this bill, and thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you. Dina, welcome.
Great. Thank you, Co-Chairs Hunt and Co-Chair Olson and other members of the committee. My name is Dina Hellams. I'm a mom of three in North Clackamas, also an 18-year teacher in the Reynolds School District at a middle school, teach language arts, and chapter chair of Stanford Children in North Clackamas. I'm really pleased to see legislators from both sides of the aisle support this idea. Many of us here today understand that the economic future of Oregon is really directly tied to improving the number of students who pursue and complete programs of higher education. We know that as taxpayers, we've already invested considerable resources in these kids in our K-12 system. It only seems to make sense that allowing them to pay the in-state tuition rate will increase our return of investment for these kids. In Oregon public schools, we accept kids as they come, and as a teacher in Reynolds, I know that I have kids who are undocumented. I know that many of them came here as young children with their parents, escaping poverty and limited opportunities to improve their standard of living. One of the values we teach our kids in schools is that they work hard and become educated, that that's their surest path to a better life. Another American value is that a child's destiny should not be forever tethered to what we perceive as shortcomings or faults of their families. Most students who find themselves in this situation live in families where financially affording the out-of-state tuition rate is just not feasible at all. Lastly, I would like to share with you a personal story of one of my students who was in my advanced language arts class a few years ago. He's now a junior in high school. We've kept in touch. He's one of three kids in his family. His parents came to this country without papers when he was in second grade. By the time he got to me, he loved Langston Hughes in history. He's now a junior, and I remember meeting his father at a parent conference and him telling me through an interpreter that although he couldn't read, he hoped great things for his son and was really looking forward to his son having opportunities that he didn't have. He's now a high-achieving high school student with dreams of becoming a teacher. He volunteers at his church's program to help adults learn English. His grades, accomplishments, and character would make him an excellent candidate for any school in Oregon.
Wrap it up, Dina, please.
Yep, sure. As has been stated before about the differences in tuition, I'd just like to say that To deny Louise that opportunity not only diminishes him and his family, but it also diminishes the Oregon spirit that we have here. And I'm here to ask you on behalf of students today to schedule a work session. So I'm hoping you will. Will you? Thanks.
Thank you very much. And so, Brian, you're up, and you've got a two-minute time clock.
My name is Glenn Ramos, and I am the principal of Redmond High School. I don't have the names of the chair in front of me. I apologize about that. But I want to take the opportunity to share a couple stories on this. The first one, the personal story regarding myself. I went through the ELL program. I went through the MigrantEd program. And so this issue is very deep and close to me. And not only to me, but when I think about all the kids that also were involved in those programs, and just because of their ability, because they weren't documented, they weren't given access to the same opportunities that I had. Many of those students, I'm sorry to say, were probably much better students than I was coming through school, but just for the sheer fact that they didn't have documentation, it just kind of put a stop to their access to higher education. And now those folks are really, because they're still friends of mine and people that I talk to, but they didn't have the same opportunity to go into higher education and to also pursue what I've been able to pursue, and that is a leadership role in this state. They're doing a variety of other things, but they didn't have the ability to go out and get their master's or administrative certificate like myself, and they're more than capable of doing that. But the documentation was the hiccup. The second story I want to share is not only from a personal piece, but also from my professional side, and that is when I was at Cook County, we had a student there that was a student that was undocumented, but he was well-liked, a very good student academically, did phenomenal work, and he was voted on by his peers and the staff there as ASB president. The student had a 3.5 GPA, had a tremendous ability to articulate, get along with people, but he, after he graduated, didn't have the same access to higher education because of the documentation factor.
And Brian, if you could wrap it up, please.
I think it's very important to realize that, you know, this is a major issue, and it's just, I think, the best way to really help Oregon continue to value education for all citizens that are here. So thank you very much, and I appreciate giving you the time to testify today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. And I forgot to give the on-deck list, I believe. And, do you want to stay on the line, Brian, or do you want us to hang up?
I got another meeting I got to go to, so hanging up would be fine.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So up right now, Lanil Vandermolen, Fred Yates, and Rosemary Scott. Apologize if you're coming from other rooms. Lanil Vandermolen, Fred Yates, and Rosemary Scott. And on deck, Eliseo Reyes, Hugo Nicholas, Sal Peralta.
Who?
So are you Lanil or are you Rosemary?
Rosemary.
Okay. And you're Lanil? Great. And there's Fred. All right. We have our threesome. Yep. Actually, you're actually up on the next panel. So if you can just wait one more.
Oh, all right.
You're on deck.
Oh, sorry.
So Fred, come on up. Third chair's for you. So Lanil, please proceed. Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Yes, my name is Lanil Vandermolen. To the members of the House Rules Committee, Chairman, SB 742 is a model of inconsistency and subterfuge. And it's been a band-aid response to a problem that the legislature has created over the years by not dealing with the magnets of illegal immigration to Oregon. It's inconsistent because the promoters claim that it's for kids, but it subsidizes legal adults. It claims to help children who were brought here as infants, and yet it requires only a 3-year Oregon residency and 5 years in the country. Therefore, it's as much to the benefit of illegal aliens who came to the U.S. in middle school as infants. This bill claims to create education equity, and yet it won't apply to a citizen from out of state who must wait a year to qualify for an in-state rate, while an illegal alien student qualifies while attending high school here with no downtime between high school and college. Now, some previous speakers have rattled off 11 different states that have adopted a similar bill and tried to imply that this meant that it wouldn't violate the terms of the federal 1986 Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act, but really what it illustrates is that our federal government doesn't want to enforce our own immigration laws anymore. In fact, it attacks states that do. That it really shows you that the fix is in on American citizens rather than the fact that this is any kind of an equity. In addition, the fiscal office made a numberless study that only repeated the university system's claim that it wouldn't cost them anything. Well, of course it won't, because the colleges don't pay for this. Taxpayers are going to supply this subsidy, so it's going to cost us, not the state system. But, and as a taxpayer, I expect less semantic maneuvering from an office that should provide non-biased analyses. Lastly, this bill has no enforcement for an illegal alien who stops actively seeking citizenship. Hard-pressed taxpayers will still have to subsidize each student at the rate of $17,600 per year and hope they don't violate their agreement. Otherwise, we will have spent a lot of money to turn out college graduates who can't legally work here. So I would rather see these students adjust their status first, prove that they're actually active American citizens with a fealty to this country before we ante up for their college tuition. Thank you.
Thank you. Fred, you're up. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chairs Hunt and Olson. My name is Fred Yates. I'm from Linn County. I'm in total and complete opposition to Senate Bill 742 and ask that you vote no on this bill. There's no moral, ethical, legal, or logical reason why we, the citizens of the United States and of Oregon, should be required to pay for the education of the children whose parents have broken the laws of our nation and continue to do so daily. Those that decry we have a moral obligation need to ask themselves, where was the morality of the parents as they illegally entered our country and continue to stay here in the violation of our laws? This bill is an attempt to right some perceived wrong by mandating yet another wrong. It's creating a special protected minority class of illegal foreigners. It is discrimination against all other legal citizens of the United States. It does not matter that other states are doing it. That's their problem. Don't make it ours. Our state is, why should we, the taxpayers, be coerced into giving $70,000 to anybody to attend college? This is redistribution of wealth, plain and simple. Our state is facing a $3.5 billion shortfall, and this bill demands we pay even more. Yet here's another request for more money from the taxpayers. We, the taxpayers, do not have infinitely deep pockets. This bill is direct violation of Section 505 of the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act of 1996. And also, I'd like to point out that Senator Olson quoted Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution out of context. That section deals with punishment of treason. No one here is accusing anybody of treason. And I challenge the authors and supporters of this bill to find in the U.S. or Oregon Constitution where it requires us to enact such a law. It is their progressive, relativistic misinterpretation of the 14th Amendment that they feel gives them the license to present these measures. It's your responsibilities as the keepers of the law to not allow such desires to succeed. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. If you could pull the mic over. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Hi. Co-Chairman Hunt and Co-Chairman Olson and members of the committee, my name is Rosemary Scott, and I'm a legal resident of Oregon and have been for 50-plus years. I dragged my husband out of Hollywood to get him back here. I have prepared a written statement and presented the copies to you, and I'd like to summarize my statement by making these points. One, Senate Bill 742, if I'm not mistaken, states no quota for the number of illegal alien students who can take advantage of the in-state tuition per semester or for how many semesters. Two, although some may argue that Senate Bill 742 does not displace citizen students, it does not give first priority enrollment to lawful resident students of Oregon. It makes sense that there is only so much room for student enrollment. Citizens would inevitably be competing with illegal aliens for space under Senate Bill 742. From their interests in our state, illegal aliens have been taking advantage of Oregon's generosity through the many welfare programs available, including free education. Still, at great expense to taxpayers, private corporations, and businesses, we accommodate those who do not speak English with instructions in their native language or by using special symbols. If illegal aliens really want to become Oregonians, they need to go home and apply legally, as so many others have done in the past. If anyone deserves our support, it is those who respect our laws. They should come first. Thank you for your consideration.
Great. Thank you all. Appreciate you being here. So up right now we have Elicio, Hugo, and Sal. On deck, Patricia Day, Jeannie Gerard, and Cliff Gerard. And we definitely have, I should note, we definitely have far more people sharing both perspectives on this issue, far more than we're going to have time to testify today. We're going to go ahead and extend until 5:15. So if you've signed up to testify and someone else has made your points already, feel free to, we can skip over you or you can abbreviate and we'll get in as many folks as possible. Elicio, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thanks. Co-Chair Hunt and Co-Chair Olson, members of the committee. My name is Elicio Reyes. I sit before you today to ask for your support of SB 742, Oregon Tuition Equity Bill. I am 14 years old and an 8th grader at Reynolds Middle School, Gresham, Oregon. I was brought to the United States by my parents when I was 3 years old. My parents are from Michoacán, Mexico. We struggle financially in Mexico. We didn't have the means to get ahead. My parents sacrificed to make sure we could succeed, though. I'm here throughout no choice of my own. It's not my fault that my parents brought me here. I'm just a kid, but smart enough to know I want to go to college someday. My parents made the decision to bring me here. I'm just a kid trying to be a student with future. Unfortunately, the difference between me and the other kids in Oregon is that I'm undocumented. Most students are taught to dream and mold their future. I can see my future, but I'm being told that I don't have one. One of my favorite things to do to go to public libraries. I like to read and learn about astronomy. I love to get lost in books. Did you know that our universe is always expanding and infinite at the same time? My dream is to go to college and get my degree in astronomy. When I learn and study about the universe, I feel I'll be able to passionately contribute knowledge back to my community. I'm excited to start high school next year. I want to get good grades and be involved with after-school groups. I want to explore my talent and find out what I'm best at. Unfortunately, it's hard to get my hopes up about my future because I don't know whether I'll be able to go to college without SB 742. I will have to pay up to 3 times as much as other students who are my classmates and friends today. Many of my friends and peers who are undocumented are going to begin to see the dividing between those who can go to school and those who will never be able to afford to go. My peers and I already feel like we don't have the support or a purpose in succeeding in high school. Because of this dividing, some of my peers are going to make bad decisions. They are going to think they don't have many options and not try. I don't want to become a statistic. I want to succeed. I want to do something good for my family. I want to graduate from high school, go to the university, and graduate with a bachelor's degree. With this bill, I will be able to have the skills to navigate an immigration system that is as complicated as our solar system. I don't want to deal with an uncertainty about my future. I'd rather spend my energy dealing with the uncertainty of why our universe is heavy or what this dark matter is all about.
Well, Alicia, if you could wrap it up, we have your full testimony.
All right. My parents are farm workers. They wake up at 5 a.m. every morning to go to work. Every day I go through the day never knowing whether they'll come home or not. I live in fear and uncertainty. I want to give up or I don't want to give up or lose hope. I want to continue my education after high school. I want to have a future where I can make something of myself. I want to be involved with the community. I want to become a full citizen of this United States. I want to be a positive role model. I want to do this for my parents because to me, my parents are like stars. Stars only live to be around 10 billion years old. Before a star dies, it crunches up into what is called a red giant, then explodes. But the star doesn't just die. It's matter and gas itself to create new stars. The star sacrifices itself to create new life. Just like my parents are doing for me in Oregon. The only home I know. Please give students like me a chance to go to college, have the knowledge to navigate the immigration system, and truly contribute. Will you please grant SB 742 to a work session? Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hugo, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Hello there, Co-Chairman and Chairman, Committee members. My name is Hugo Nicholas. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 742 because this bill gives me and many others like me a future. I came here 8 years ago with my family. I learned to admire this country for its belief in education and the will and sacrifice of its people for something better. Today I'm a police cadet, fire cadet, city youth counselor, senior class representative, vice president for many committees, army company commander, and translator, and many more things. I don't do this because it was expected in my life. I do this so I can learn someday, I can follow my dreams and run for Congress, so I can help other students like me. Going to my junior year, I started to see a different attitude in the Hispanic community towards school. What we used to say in 8th grade about why to go to school just to work in the fields was coming true. Before all this happened, I wanted to go to University of Oregon, sorry Beaver fans, and study criminal justice so that I could go into law enforcement. Well, junior year, I realized this was not going to happen because without in-state tuition, I could not go to college. It hurt me mentally to not know it was not my ability that was holding me back, but it was the money. I dropped my honor classes to regular, and even that I was thinking about dropping out to go to work, I decided not to drop out. But I went from being a top student in the class to just a student. Many friends I've known have dropped out because of such a discouragement. They work so hard to later find out there's no way forward. You don't know how it feels to not be able to dream and not go to college. Not because you're not smart, but because there is no way to pay for it. Education is not just a word. It's a belief that we have in our future and the understanding of ourselves. Do you want to have a certain population to not have education? We need to get our students ready for jobs that we don't even know exist and problems that we don't even know are problems yet. I am fighting for my future and the future of generations to come. I am here to speak on behalf of the people who want to be successful and speak for those who never told their stories.
If you could wrap up your testimony, please.
Yes, I will.
Thanks.
In the United States, even in kindergarten, you teach us to believe in something greater. You teach us to work hard and respect others and work things out. Let us not forget why you're here, for in the end, you're deciding. My dad tells me, and even you tell me, do not stop, that nothing can stop me from what I want to do. But the thing that stops me from doing what I want to do is the country that I love and the country that makes me cry every day at night. And liberty and justice for all, it seems nothing more than just a myth.
Thank you for testimony. Sal, you're the old man on this panel for a change. Welcome
seems
back
to the
rules committee.
A lot these days, Mr. Chair. Distinguished Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sal Peralta. I just have a few points to make, so I'll be brief. First, the data I've seen shows that this is a political hot-button issue for a relatively small number of voters. We find that political independents respond well to basic fairness messaging around this issue, and we see very little electoral downside to passing this legislation. I can share data with people if they're interested. Second, the legislation is good public policy. The worst outcome of passing this bill is that we might end up with another educated Oregonian, most likely someone like Alicia or Hugo, who are going to be a pillar in their community. Don't we want more people like that going to college? Third, passing this legislation is necessary, as I see it, to bring Oregon's in-state tuition law into greater compliance with the Oregon Constitution. The Oregon Constitution used to allow statutory discrimination against non-white resident foreigners. Article 1, Section 31 of the Oregon Constitution of 1859 read, "White foreigners who are or may hereafter become residents of this state shall enjoy the same rights with respect to possession, enjoyment, and descent of property as native-born citizens, and the Legislative Assembly shall have the power to restrain and regulate immigration to this state of persons not qualified to become citizens of the United States." No more. That the people struck down that provision of the Oregon Constitution by legislative referral in 1970. In so doing, the state ceded its right to regulate immigration to the federal government, and our Constitution no longer contains any provision that allows the state to treat Oregon residents differently from one another with respect to the rights and privileges of state residency, regardless of citizenship status. With respect to in-state tuition, nothing in federal law requires Oregon to treat resident aliens differently, regardless of whether they're from Mexico, Massachusetts, or even California. In fact, dependent students who are Oregon residents but whose parents may reside in other states have a straightforward path to establishing residency under Oregon Administrative Rule 580-010-0031. It's a much lower bar than is the case for students seeking to establish residency under this bill.
Wrap up, please.
It's not correct, as some have suggested, that this legislation gives preference to children of undocumented migrant workers. Rather, it brings Oregon statute into greater agreement with the Oregon Constitution. This bill is politically safe, sound public policy, and it's the right thing to do with respect to ensuring that all Oregon residents are treated fairly by statute with respect to in-state tuition. I ask the committee to move this bill forward and urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you all three very much. So up right now, Patricia, Jeannie, and Cliff, and on deck, Karen Ramirez, Eli Glenzel, and Daniel Balderas. Patricia, Jeannie, and Cliff. I'm guessing you're Cliff.
Process of elimination.
are Patricia J.
People
and
people had to leave, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Actually, I think you're on the next panel. Is Jeannie Gerard here? Is Patricia Day here? Let's go down then and include on this panel Jim Elvin and Don Nash. Great, they're both in the room. Excellent. Please proceed. Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Chairman Hunt, Chairman Olson, members of the committee, my name is Cliff Gerard. I was born and raised in Salem, went to Willamette University, and I was in higher education and public school education for 31 years. My grandparents immigrated legally here from Switzerland, and I'm here to give opposition to the in-tuition bill, SB 742. This bill passing would violate a 1996 federal law that holds that illegal immigrants should not qualify for any state university's in-tuition. The word illegal already indicates a breaking of laws. To allow anyone here illegally to take advantage of receiving subsidized tuition is grossly unfair to our legal citizens. In addition to placing a burden on our taxpayers, as was outlined by our first speaker, Jim Ludwig, and others, it also limits the opportunities for legal citizens to afford an education. I see no justification for passing this bill and urge a no vote on SB 742. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jim, welcome.
Chair and representatives, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Jim Alvin. I reside here in Salem. We elected our lawmakers to represent the citizens of our country with the hope that they would do so. But many have lost sight of what's right and wrong. The word illegal seems to have lost its meaning. At our state capitol, at the time when our country is in real trouble, those that are here illegal are allowed to flood our capitol and hold rallies in Spanish and patrol the halls as though they are in full control of the capitol. While they demand more of our taxpayer dollars, it doesn't seem to mean anything that K through 12 has cost the taxpayers over $100,000 each for their children, and now they're asking for more to send them through college. I think this is wrong. It's very costly. What they have done to our school systems is terrific. It's cost us a lot, and our school systems are devastated at this point because a lot of it is brought on by the illegal aliens' children. That's very expensive for our taxpayers, and most of them are not helping with the cost. The old saying comes to mind, contrary to the popular belief, there are still a few no-nos, and I think this bill is one of those no-nos.
If you could wrap up, please.
I appreciate the time, and I urge you to vote against this if this comes to a vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Don, welcome.
Thank you. Co-chairs Hunt and Olson, my name is Don Nash. I reside in Lake Oswego, Oregon. I am asking the committee to reject Senate Bill 742. I think that the bill would allow, what the bill would allow is contrary to what our country stands for and would create a special waiver of existing law that is not justified. We hear that these students would not be able to attend college in Oregon if in-state tuition is not granted. I do not believe that to be true. There are numerous financial packages that are available, and there are alternatives to less costly colleges that are also available. We also hear that we should not penalize these students for the mistakes of their parents. That reason for 742 does not hold water. There are a lot of young people that have survived in spite of the mistakes of their parents and have become good citizens. They have learned the value of what it means to be a citizen of the United States. This is probably one of the reasons that the parents of these students came to the United States in the first place. Yes, it was for a chance of a better paying job, but it was also the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of living in the United States and to live under the rule of law that exists in our country. So we're not penalizing the students for the mistakes of their parents. Rather, I think we're supporting the struggles that their parents made in coming to the U.S. by not allowing the existing structure of tuition payments to be rewritten. Colleges are suffering economically. I can well imagine college admission officials having a formula that tells them how many out-of-state students that pay higher tuition can be accepted. If we grant this, and we do have this push to bring in higher-paying out-of-state students, this is going to reduce the number of slots that are available to in-state students, so resident kids are going to pay the price. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your testimony. We appreciate it. So up right now, Karen, Eli, and Daniel on deck, Connie Clark, Larry Gordon, and Mr. or Mrs. Mosley, I can't read the first name, Mosley, who lives more than 100 miles away. That should narrow it down, I hope. Karen, welcome to the Rules Committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Okay. I'm Karen Ramirez, and before I begin, I would like to point out that we are not...
If you could pull the mic just a little closer, please. Great, thanks.
Before I begin, I would like to point out that we are not aliens, and I think it's really rude. Okay, so thank you, Co-Chairs Representative Olson and Representative Hunt, and other members of the House Committee. I am grateful for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Karen Ramirez. I attend Reynolds Middle School as a 7th grader. I am here today because I don't believe it is fair or smart to exclude certain Oregon students from paying the same tuition rate as other Oregon students. Maybe some of you wouldn't be here today because you were denied the same opportunity to go to college because it costs too much. Look at you guys. You guys are very important to the state of Oregon, and some of us want to be too. We want to support our families and contribute to our communities. I know that many immigrants come to the United States and study hard. We pass elementary school, middle school, and in high school we think of what comes next, college. We hear from our teachers that if we want to be successful, we need to plan for getting more education after high school. Some of us want to live that dream, and I want to live it too, but I just need your guys' help. I work hard in school and understand that education is my way to a better life. My parents work hard, they love me, and they want me to have a less stressful life. But we just can't afford the out-of-state tuition rate. If you ask me, it feels like I'm being punished for working hard and wanting to go to college. You all have to do it, right? You graduated from high school and college. You have the chance through hard work and opportunity to become leaders in your neighborhood and the state of Oregon. You have the powers to make my dreams and others' students in Oregon possible. Listen to me, because I have a voice. Let me be part of the Oregon and American dream. Regardless of the students' documentation status, we have much in common with our other classmates. We want to have meaningful lives, because we can work hard as anyone else. We're being punished for wanting to fulfill our dreams. Your families came here from somewhere else, too. You have the opportunity to stand up for students like me today. I hope I can count on you for doing the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Eli, welcome.
To start off, thank you to co-chairs Representatives Olson, Hunt, and other members of the committee for the opportunity to speak to you today in support of the tuition equity. My name is Eli Glenzel. I am a 7th grade student at Reynolds Middle School. I've known a lot of undocumented students who have worked hard in school, achieved excellent grades, and participated in after-school activities to better themselves in our community. I find it unbelievable that most of these same students can't go to an Oregon public college because there's no way they can afford to pay the out-of-state tuition rate. In many cases, the amount is around triple of what I would be charged. Well, I don't think this is right. It makes no sense that students who sit next to me in class, eat lunch with me in the cafeteria, and kids that I grew up with don't have the same opportunity to pursue college like I do. A few weeks ago, my middle school had a college night for students to see what college expected. While a representative was talking, she showed a slideshow, and in the slideshow, one thing I noticed was the cost for 1 year of college at their university. For the in-state tuition, it was about $20,000 for books, housing, and food, and everything. The out-of-state expenses were $38,500 for the exact same thing. The tuition portion was three times the amount. In order to qualify, an undocumented student has to have been in Oregon for 3 or more years, graduate from high school, and do well enough to be accepted to a school like University of Oregon or Western Oregon. It just makes sense that we encourage more students to go to college. These students aren't my competitors. They are my friends, my classmates, and everything else to me. My future is made better by giving them the opportunity to have a better future for themselves and Oregon. So this is where I stand. I believe we will see a better future for everyone, no matter where they come from or what their documentation status is. I'm looking to you to show kids in Oregon that you stand with them, no matter what. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. Dear Chair and Hunt, Co-Chair Olson, and members of the community, I'm Daniel, and I'm here to support Chishun Quadi SB 742. First time, sorry if for my English is not really good accent, but I'm going to read this letter. I give to the leader of the organization, La Causa. I'm a family man and a person of faith. I have a family, 5 kids. But my older daughter is in high school, and my older son will be in high school the next year. As I watch my 2 older children grow up and think about the future, I'm a turn apart. The thing is that all my children even grow up in the United States, and my daughter was born in the United States. My son was not born here, Victor. I know without tuition equity, my son and daughter will have a very different futures. My children are very smart. My daughter teaches young children at our church, and she wants to be a pediatric doctor when she grows up. When I watch her working with the kids, I know that she's going to be really good at that. She got talent. And my son is an honor roller student. He's also very involved in our church and wants to be an architect and a priest when he grow up. He dreams about doing good. It's the same time traveling and doing missionary work and helping people, building houses with him doing. And it is always at the back of my mind about how will our family afford this dream for him, and that he will probably not be able to do this because he will have to pay the such high tuition.
And if we could, if you could wrap up, we have your full testimony in front of us. That'd be great.
I live here working and paying taxes, and I know that our kids is not fault to bring them from Mexico sometimes, but this is the only nation he has right now, and they're very different. I just appreciate if you guys support this new law for a new generation. I know that you guys have a hand with authority to do this change. It's going to be affect our country. And this is going to help us to us to grow up like adults. Thank you very much for hearing me today.
Thank you. Thank you, all three. Appreciate you being here. So up right now, Connie, Larry, and Mr. or Mrs. Mosley. And on deck, Marvin Sands, Lupita Maurer, and Eduardo Angulo, I believe. So actually, let's see. So are you Connie and Larry? So last call for Mr. and Mrs. Mosley. Okay, is Rebecca Roth still here? Okay, great. Go ahead, proceed. Welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chairs Hunt and Olson and committee members. My name is Connie Clark, and I'm here not representing a group, but as a concerned citizen. I think that Senate Bill 742 is inherently flawed. America is a country founded on the principle of law and order, but this bill rewards those who are here illegally, requiring taxpayers to subsidize their college tuition, although students from other states who are legal citizens with all the rights and responsibilities that entails are denied the same opportunity. And at its core, this bill is about inherently about an ethical issue. And I do not think that we have the authority or the right to enact legislation that overrides or ignores the law.
Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Larry Jordan. I'm Portland resident. Thank you, Co-Chair Olson and Hunt, for having me, for permitting me to speak. I didn't realize I had to have multiple copies, so I will get them to you.
Okay.
However I can get them to you. I'm just going to speak on percentages and some numbers. I have almost 450 archive documents since the beginning of the Bush administration's outlining the U.S. economy, and the rate of unemployment, the U3, which is commonly shown in the public media, represents only 42% of the unemployed. It currently is 8.9%. The Bureau of Labor Statistics rate of unemployment is 16%. That is the most severe or most accurate that they put out. And the system was called alternate system, which was in effect until the Clinton administration, is currently 22%. These figures have not materially deviated for over a year. The number I have seen who do not have, Americans who do not have full-time employment, is 22 million. I've seen as high as 25, but anyway, the 22 million is the most common. There's also Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, an economist, said 85% of current college graduates are going to have to move back home. They cannot support an independent lifestyle. That was as of October 2010. In October, in a 2008 report, it was 77% of college students are going home. So the myth that we are a high-tech society has been documented for the past decade, that we are not a high-tech society anymore. The jobs, the last 3 years of this depression, it is a depression, have been temporary jobs, I mean part-time jobs, and they are low-skill, predominantly low-skill, and low-wage. We are not a high-tech country like Germany or some of the other countries. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Rebecca? Yes. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Rebecca Ross. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to say I agree with many of the things that have been said here today about the opposition to SB 742. But I wanted to say that that I talk to people frequently who have college degrees and who are doing low-wage jobs. They're glad to have them. They've been unemployed. Or there's ones I've talked to that don't have any jobs and are looking for work, and they have college degrees. So a college degree does not necessarily guarantee you a better life. My children have not all of them gone to college, and several of them have made jobs out in the world and are doing well. And others have gone to college and aren't using what they learned. So it's just not—it's not all just set that if you go to college, you're going to have life and liberty. The American liberty and justice for all is a thing that comes to us from living here as citizens, and it's a very precious thing. It doesn't guarantee you a job, it doesn't guarantee you a college education, but it guarantees that the government is going to not come in unjustly and put you in prison or kill you, like in so many countries. And that justice can apply also to the people who are taxpayers and have to pay the bills. And there's nothing in our Constitution that says that the taxpayers, the citizens of this country, have to provide a college education to every foreign person who wants to come here. I do think that I'm not sure about this, but I think that Mexico provides education for their citizens. I would have to check that out, but I think there is opportunity there too. And for bilingual students, that might be an opportunity to expand their world into other nations that might provide things for them.
If you could wrap up, please.
That's it.
Okay, great. Thank you all very much. So we are going to have to end with the next two panels. We have right now Marvin, Lupita, Eduardo, and on deck for our last panel will be Charles Wagner, Larry Wilcox, and Don Poole.
Welcome to
the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Chairman. I love to hear you say welcome. Julian Huxley said that all of civilization is contained in the word welcome. I welcome the Hispanic culture coming to this valley. I've been here for 66 years. When I was 18 years old and left Mount Angel Prep and went to Portland and got a job washing dishes.
And Marvin, can you just say your name for the record? I'm sorry.
Marvin Sanis. I went to Portland and got a job washing dishes and wondered what I was going to do with my life. And I looked at the tuition at Portland State College in 1963. It was $73 a term. I decided to try it. I walked into the bookstore, and the first word I saw was anthropology. And I thought, what in the hell does that mean? And my world has opened like this since then. This Hispanic culture, this is really a no-brainer. We know that education is one of the most cost-effective things that government can do to educate our children. It's a no-brainer. You overlay it with this politics of immigration, and I just hope this gets to the floor of the House and we hear some eloquent people discuss education and its value. Thank you very much. And I'm very proud of the work you people have done this afternoon. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Lupita, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much. Honorable Chairman, representatives, for the record, my name is Lupita Maurer, and I was just recently appointed by Governor Kit Happer to the Commission on Hispanic Affairs. Thank you for the honor. Tuition equity, SB 742, is critical for our states, for a state, and I know this because I am a highly successful U.S. citizen who benefited from access to higher education as an undocumented student. I came here as a teenager from Mexico City, and I knew my economic security in America would depend on my access to higher education. The money my mom and I made cleaning houses was just not enough to pay non-resident tuition at higher education institutions. So thankfully, the California Supreme Court and the California State University system gave me my big break. The court decided that undocumented students would be eligible for in-state tuition rates at California's public universities. As a direct result of that, I was able to attend California State University in East Bay, and I graduated magna cum laude with a computer science degree. As soon as I graduated, I got a job at the best company in Silicon Valley, which was Silicon Graphics, and I worked on the tech support helpline, and I supported the manufacturing floor. Today, I still work in the high-tech industry. I'm a software engineer at an Oregon company, and I've been there for 15 years. Not only do I work and pay taxes, I give back to my community in a lot of other ways. I mentor middle school girls and teach them about the importance of math and sciences. I support and participate in activities in my Christian church, and I'm deeply involved in my country where my children have been born and raised. SB 742 would give others the same educational and economic opportunity that I was given in California. Oregon has an untapped reserve of young people who want to go ahead and give back. I urge you to support SB 742 and help these talented young students to realize their full potential just as I did. Thank you.
Thank you. Eduardo, welcome.
Thank you, Co-Chairman and members of the committee. Representative Berger. My name is Eduardo Angulo. I'm the chairman of the Salem-Keizer Coalition for Equality. The coalition is made up of seven Latino community organizations that serve our community throughout Oregon. Our member organizations are PECUN, the Farm Workers Union of Oregon, CAUSA, the Pro-Immigrant Rights Coalition of Oregon, Mano a Mano Family Center, Latinos Unidos Siempre, our youth organization, Willamette University Mecha Students, and our coalition's parent organizing project. The Salem-Keizer Coalition for Equality is an affiliate member of the National Council of La Raza, the largest Latino umbrella organization in the United States. We are all in full support of Senate Bill 742 because it removes the barriers to allow our immigrant students who have worked very hard at graduating from high school with the hope of being their first ones in their families to go to college and be productive and task-paying American citizens. Allowing these talented students to continue their education in our Oregon universities and preparing themselves for the job market is an extension of the investment of billions of dollars that we all, American taxpayers, have made in our American public education system. It is capitalizing on the investment already made on these Oregonian students. SB 742 is an issue of fairness, as Oregon is this student's home. It's a good investment for our families, our communities, and the Oregon economy. It encourages good citizenship in young people and creates committed citizens who are going to be driving the new Oregon economy and prosperity for all of its residents. It speaks for our highest moral imperative that makes our nation the shining beacon of freedom and hope for so many around the world. We all want to reach the American dream, and by wanting to do so, we should allow these students to reach their American dream too. It all speaks to our American values and principles of fairness. This bill deserves a working hearing and a vote in the chamber for the Oregon House of Representatives. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. And our last panel of the day will be Charles, Larry, and Don. Charles Wagner, Larry Wilcox, Don Poole. Okay. Or at least two of them. Is Dale Johnson here? Is Dale Johnson here? Oh, okay, great. Please proceed. Welcome.
Charles Wagner, Hillsboro, Oregon. Captain USN, retired, 40-year Oregon resident and veteran, submarine veteran of the Cold War. I can see by the flagging eyelids and the empty chairs that I had best be brief, so I will. I intend to make only one point that hasn't already been made. The horse of finance has been beaten bloody. I won't touch it. There are a number of enlisted armed service serving members in the state of Oregon going to Oregon universities. Some of them are from out of state. When I was a midshipman on the campus of Oregon State University, there were in excess of 30 out-of-state students. Either the United States Navy, if they were on scholarship, paid their, no pun intended, full boat out-of-state tuition, or they paid it out of their own pocket if they weren't on scholarship. Today, those numbers are proportionally less, but there are still over a dozen midshipmen on the campus of Oregon State University that are from out of state. It would be a serious injustice to grant other students in-state tuition and ignore them. Furthermore, that says nothing about our returning veterans. While I understand there is a discount program for tuition for returning veterans that are from out-of-state homes of record, they don't get resident tuition. And if you proceed down this track, there should be equity for them. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Larry, welcome.
Good afternoon, Chairman Hunt, members of the committee. I, too, have listened to the financial reports this afternoon from both sides of the aisle. So, therefore, I don't care to get into that portion of it. My wife spoke before this afternoon, and so I will not go over those details either. But there is one thing concerning Senate Bill 742 that I am in very strong disagreement with. I am an avid proponent of education. I do not believe that the value of education can be overstated. However, I do not believe that the American citizen should be put aside for the benefit of any foreign national. I think that is totally wrong, in my humble opinion. And I cannot understand how that can be justified in any way. That's the extent of my statement.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. And Dale, you get the last word. Welcome.
Thank you very much. My name is Dale Johnson. I live in South Salem. I'm a Vietnam vet. And like before, many of the points have been covered, so I won't beat on those. I do have a couple of things that I think are important to keep balance here. We need to keep the main thing clearly in focus. We are a nation of law. That's why we are here. That's why people from all over the world want to come here. There's enough said on that issue. My wife and I have personally helped several families enter the USA legally to address some of the issues on the other side of the fence. All of these people have followed the immigration rules. They have learned English. All of them have they've become productive citizens. Some of them, a couple of them, are teaching at our universities now. Illegal aliens are putting a crushing burden on our state, and we're allowing them to overtax our public services. That isn't right. To flip over to a slightly different example, my wife and I immigrated to Canada many years ago for a few years. Before being allowed into the country, I was required to prove that I had a job in Canada that was on an approved list by the Canadian government. I also had to prove that I had enough money in my possession to take care of my family during the transition time. My employer had to write a letter verifying these facts. I was not allowed to sell anything that I brought into the country, and I had to provide a list for at least 6 months. 6 months later, the RCMP came around and knocked on my door to verify that I still had everything that was on that list. That didn't offend me. It was... I didn't think that was unreasonable at all. They simply had clear rules for immigration. They followed them and enforced them, and we need to do the same. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you all for your testimony. I want to thank the sponsors for bringing this forward. I want to thank all our outstanding witnesses on all sides of this important issue today for your thoughtful testimony. I want to thank the audience for your respect for people of greatly varying perspectives. Thanks to the committee, at least the few, the proud, the four of us, for hanging in there until the end, and our committee staff for keeping us on track. We're going to keep the record open, the written record open on this, so if you did not have an opportunity to testify, or even if you didn't have some supplementary thoughts, you can either leave written testimony with Amy here, or you can send it by email to the House Rules Committee staff, and you can see her name if you're here, but I'll read it off if you're viewing online. Amy, A-I-M-E-E, dot S-T-E-K-E-T-E-E, at state.or.us. And we definitely value hearing your feedback based on this hearing. I know many of us are optimistic that this will move to a work session and an opportunity for this bill to be heard and discussed and voted on the House floor. With that, thank you all. We are adjourned.